Okay, let's unpack this. It's a highly specific yet absolutely critical logistical nightmare.
He really is.
I mean, if I asked you to move a sensitive document from a law firm in, say, downtown New York to a secure federal facility in rural Louisiana, you'd probably say,
Easy, overnight shipping, done.
exactly, you'd think that.
And, you'd be operating on this assumption that these global logistics chains, the ones that get you a new laptop in 24 hours, can handle something like a legal process deadline.
But they can't.
No. The reality, when we really get into the source material for this deep dive, is that when you mix federal court deadlines, high security federal facilities, and the deep remoteness of Louisiana's rural parishes, standard logistics just fail.
And not just fail, they fail spectacularly.
Right. So our mission today is to really understand why. Why do those multi-billion dollar networks just crumble in this specific environment?
And how did these specialized local boots on the ground service providers become the only dependable bridge for attorneys, not just in Louisiana, but across the entire United States?
The location itself is the first challenge, and it really sets the stakes. I mean, sure, the New Orleans Immigration Court is relatively accessible,
Right, it's in a major city.
but the vast majority of federal detainees and civil rights defendants, the actual people who desperately need these legal papers delivered, they're held in these very remote processing centers.
And when you say remote, we're talking hours away from any major airport or metropolitan area.
Hours. Think of an attorney in Houston or maybe Washington, D.C. They have client held, what, 3 hours north of Lafayette, Louisiana? They can e-file a lot, sure, but
But not everything.
not everything.
Yeah.
Certain critical documents, like physical evidence or maybe a wet signed petition, have to be physically delivered to the facility and stamped by the court.
And what's so fascinating here, and what the sources really highlight, is that the problem isn't just the distance, it's the protocol. It's what's required to actually validate that service in the eyes of the law.
That's the whole game.
Exactly. Which, leads us right to the core conflict here. This logistical breakdown that creates the need for this specialized service, and it's often marked by that terrifying, undeliverable tag. So why? Why do these massive standard shipping carriers just fail when the stakes are so high?
Well, the sources identify the core issue almost immediately. When a law firm uses a standard carrier, your FedEx, your UPS, they're treating it like a package.
But it's not a
Or
package.
no, the detention facility treats it like a potential security threat.
I can just picture the attorney's office. They've been working all night. They finish drafting this complex federal petition. They seal it up, print the tracking number, send it overnight to, let's say, the La Salle ICE Processing Center in Genelia, Louisiana.
And then the next morning, they pull up the tracking info and they see it. Delivery exception. Recipient unavailable.
Or worse, attempted delivery, security clearance required. The panic must be immediate.
Oh, absolutely. And that panic is justified because the federal clock, it doesn't stop ticking for logistical failures. That delivery exception is the result of three specific obstacles that these large standardized carriers just cannot afford to manage.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is strict security clearance. A standard driver who might only service that route once a week, if that,
Right.
they don't have the necessary access. And they definitely don't have the patience or the time built into their schedule to navigate multiple checkpoints.
They're on clock for their whole route.
Exactly. The second is confusing mailroom protocol. These facilities don't operate like a corporate office where, anyone at the front desk can sign for an envelope.
Yeah.
They have very specific rules about who can accept legal service and exactly how it must be recorded. If a document arrives during a shift change or if it's addressed to the wrong internal person, it's just rejected
Yeah.
instantly.
And that delay could be catastrophic for a deadline.
No. It could be the whole case. And the third hurdle, which almost seems comical if it weren't so serious, is just rural addressing errors.
You mean the GPS is wrong?
We assume GPS is infallible, but when you're dealing with facilities built years ago on unmarked parish roads or that have these remote land descriptions, the digital address often leads a driver to an abandoned field.
Or a private driveway, hours away from the actual gate.
To put a finer point on that, if the facility is difficult for even a local specialized driver to find, it's nearly impossible for an outsourced, out-of-state driver who is relying only on their GPS.
So, okay, we've established the stakes. Federal deadlines mean you absolutely cannot afford a single delivery exception. But let's get into that crucial legal distinction you mentioned earlier. What is the fundamental difference in the eyes of the court between a package being delivered and a legal document being officially served.
It's all about accountability and proof. That's the whole thing. A standard package delivery. Its only goal is to get the item somewhere near the destination.
So that FedEx note left at front gate.
It means nothing in federal court. Absolutely nothing. For a legal document to be successfully served, you must prove that a person who is authorized to accept that document on behalf of the facility or the individual or the entity being sued physically received it.
Which means you need a verifiable chain of custody.
Precisely. You need more than a GPS coordinate. You need a signature, a badge number, and a time.
And that requirement, it just immediately filters out 99% of all commercial carriers.
It leaves only those who actually understand the legal process itself.
Which, you know, sets the stage perfectly for the solution.
Mm-hmm.
This is where that specialized niche agency comes in and transforms what is a logistical headache into a guarantee of compliance.
Right. They position themselves as the necessary experts in what the sources call the federal ICE circuit.
And if the strength of the big logistics companies is scale and automation, this agency's strength is hyper-local human knowledge.
Yes. It's all about knowing the routes and knowing the protocols and doing it day in and day out.
Think about the commitment involved in that. When the source material says, we drive to Jenna, Basel, and Pine Prairie regularly, that's not just a casual trip.
No, that means they're running full dedicated routes through central and western Louisiana. That's their entire operational focus.
Let's use that specific example they highlight. The LaSalle Ice Processing Center in Jenna. It's located deep in LaSalle Parish.
Right. And the agency notes that facility requires a dedicated 2.5-hour drive.
From most major cities or commercial hubs?
Yeah, so that's a 5-hour round trip. Before you even factor in the time you're going to spend clearing security and waiting for someone to accept the document.
And that 2.5 hours is only possible if you know the back roads, if you know the most efficient routes.
Absolutely. For an out-of-town attorney or, you know, a standard carrier, that 5-hour round trip can easily become 6 or 7 hours if they make one wrong turn relying on a consumer mapping app.
And deadlines are just blown with that kind of time slippage. So the route knowledge gets them there. But the protocol knowledge, that's what gets the document successfully served. If I'm a process server, I can't just walk up to the front door and hand the documents to the guard, can I?
Absolutely not. And this is the fatal flaw for the inexperienced carrier. These facilities are not open-door environments. The specialized providers know that to properly serve a facility, you have to bypass the general security gate.
And go there.
And interact directly with the designated civil process officer, or in some cases, the shift commander.
Okay, so why that specific person? What makes them the only one?
Well, because that individual is the only one who's actually authorized by the facility.
Right.
To legally accept service on behalf of, you know, the entity or the individual being sued. If you hand it to anyone else.
It's invalid.
It's invalid, exactly. The service could be deemed improper and the case could be dismissed or delayed for months.
And knowing that specific protocol for LaSalle versus Wynn Correctional versus Basel, that's years of learned experience. Mm.
Yes, and that experience translates directly into legal compliance for the attorney.
And this is where the legal value of this whole service becomes just indisputable. It's what the sources call the critical proof. It's not just getting there and handing it over. It's the mandatory waiting time.
Exactly. The provider doesn't just drop and run. They can't. They have to wait for the document to be officially accepted, logged into the facility system, and then stamped and signed for.
Can you just imagine the pressure? You've made the 5-hour round trip. You've navigated all the security protocols, and now you're just standing there with the clock running.
Waiting for an internal officer to complete the paperwork and affix the stamp that validates the entire service for court.
That waiting period, that commitment to securing the documentation, that's the whole payoff.
It is. That signed, timestamped document provides the necessary validation for the court. It confirms the delivery occurred, who accepted it, and when.
Without that critical proof, the attorney has nothing. Their filing deadline might as well have been missed.
Yeah, it really shifts the focus entirely. The key takeaway here isn't the distance or the paper. It's that legal accountability hinges entirely on a piece of paper getting stamped by the right person at the right time.
Okay, so now that we understand the absolute necessity of this specialized service, let's zoom out a bit and actually map the territory itself, this circuit. It isn't just one facility. It's a whole network of courts and centers that span hundreds of miles across Louisiana.
And we can start with the courts, because that's often the second half of the logistical equation for these attorneys.
Right. Getting the document served is one thing, getting it filed is another.
Exactly. So this agency does daily filing runs and certified dispositions retrieval for the New Orleans Immigration Court. That's a key but very busy urban location.
But they also focus heavily on the much more remote Oakdale Immigration Court.
And this one is so important. It requires dedicated physical runs for filing motions, bond redeterminations. Oakdale is geographically significant. It's about an hour's drive from the agency's headquarters, but it's still far enough off the beaten path to require a specific dedicated trip.
And that need for physical filing runs is such a constant friction point for lawyers. I mean, we all think digital filing, e-filing has solved everything.
But systems fail. They go down. Or certain motions, by rule, still require the physical paper to be filed at the clerk's window.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you can see the web. An attorney might need documents served 3 hours north in Jana, then they have to race to Oakdale to physically file a motion, and then head back to New Orleans to check on a disposition.
It's an impossible triangle to navigate on your own. This map really shows why a single, central, hypermobile expert is just essential to cover that spread.
Okay, so now for the remote facilities themselves. Let's try to characterize the difficulty. Take the Pine Prairie ICE Processing Center in rural Evangeline Parish. What makes that location so notoriously difficult for an out-of-town courier?
The documentation highlights that Pine Prairie is very difficult to locate, and that suggests challenges beyond just the distance itself. We're talking about poorly marked roads, maybe a lack of cell service.
A dead zone.
A dead zone, exactly. Or these remote land descriptions that standard navigation systems just can't properly interpret for a commercial driver. It's a true logistical black hole.
Now, contrast that with the South Louisiana IC Processing Center in Basil.
Right. Because this facility is physically closer to the agency's headquarters in Carencro, that proximity allows them to offer something incredible. A same-day rush service.
And that is gold for an attorney who is facing a last-minute, end-of-day filing deadline.
That same-day rush option really illustrates the value of their fixed geographic hub. They can mobilize so quickly to Basil when time is truly, truly running out.
We also see the scope widening beyond just the strict ICE facilities to places like the Wynn Correctional Center in Winfield.
Yes, and this location handles detainees involved in federal civil rights actions. So that requires service of process for documents like Section 1983 civil rights lawsuits and staff subpoenas.
And the full directory mentioned in the sources includes others, right? Like Jackson Parish Correctional Center in Jonesboro and River Correctional Center in Faraday.
It does. This map really confirms that the expert isn't just servicing a neighborhood. They are servicing an entire, sprawling, logistically challenging region where the clock is always, always ticking.
So we've covered the distance and the protocols. Let's shift our focus to the gravity of the legal documents themselves. Section 4 of the sources outlines this comprehensive legal service menu.
And it shows this support isn't just about moving mail. It's about handling the highest stakes legal papers in federal court.
The documents they handle fall into three main interconnected categories, starting with federal and civil litigation support. And we should probably pause here to define some of this high-stakes terminology quickly.
Good idea.
So let's start with the big one. They serve process for Section 1983 civil rights lawsuits.
Right. So a Section 1983 lawsuit is the primary legal tool used to sue state or local government employees or private entities acting, you know, under the color of state law.
Which in this context would be.
In this context, it's often the facility staff or the corporate entities that are actually running the prisons. That's who's being sued for alleged civil rights violations.
So these process servers are serving summons and complaints on facility administrators, ICE officers, and the big private prison contractors who are the operational defendants in these cases.
Yeah.
We're talking about companies like GEO Group, Core Civic, LaSalle Corrections.
Exactly. This isn't just serving an employee. It's serving the organization itself, which has its own set of rules.
And then there's what has to be the most urgent document type in this entire logistical chain. The urgent delivery of habeas corpus petitions.
I mean, it doesn't get more urgent than that. Habeas corpus is a fundamental petition that argues a person is being detained illegally or unconstitutionally.
And these documents carry immediate, intense deadlines. They have to be delivered simultaneously to the facility and the appropriate U.S. District Court.
Right. And beyond that initial complaint, they're also serving federal subpoenas for the production of documents. This could be anything from really sensitive medical records to critical video footage that's needed for a defense.
Okay, the second category, immigration defense logistics, really highlights these unique non-digital challenges. They handle emergency filings when the e-filing system goes down, but crucially, they facilitate the collection of wet signatures inside the facility.
Ah, the original signature problem.
It's still a thing. Even today, if a motion requires a non-digital physical signature from a detainee, someone has to physically drive there, get the signature, and drive it back out.
So the specialized courier is acting as the secure human bridge for documents that must, by law, remain physical.
They also handle evidence transport that has to maintain a secure chain of custody, things like USB drives or biometric data.
And this is why that specialized service is so critical. A standard carrier might deliver a USB drive, sure, but they cannot guarantee the chain of custody that is required for that evidence to be legally admissible in court.
And finally, the third category, general civil process. This is serving detainees with family law documents like divorce or custody papers or other civil lawsuits.
Yeah, and even for these non-federal matters, you still have to coordinate with the facility's designated civil process officer just to ensure the service is legal.
So the complexity means that even a local divorce attorney in, say, Baton Rouge, needs an expert who can navigate that facility's specific procedures to properly serve a spouse who's detained 150 miles away.
Absolutely.
And we have a perfect illustration of the value of this guaranteed proof of service. Let's go back to Michael R., the Houston immigration attorney. He was facing an emergency filing situation at the Oakdale Immigration Court. He needed a motion filed right away.
And he praised the agency not just for making that hour-plus drive on such short notice, but specifically for their procedural discipline. They made the filing, and then they waited.
They didn't leave.
They stood there at the clerk's window to ensure the clerk actually stamped the documents before the absolute deadline expired.
Can you just imagine the relief that Michael R. must have felt? Knowing his entire case didn't just collapse because his courier understood that the value wasn't just the delivery of the paper,
but the securing of the official stamp, the stamp that proved the filing occurred on time.
That is the difference between a high-stakes success and a catastrophic deadline failure.
It just solidifies our core insight from all of this. The value isn't the drive time or the mileage. It is the guarantee of procedural compliance and court-acceptable proof of service.
So let's wrap this up for you, the listener. The core insight we've really uncovered today is that in these high-stakes legal situations, the ones governed by strict federal deadlines, specialized local knowledge of terrain and facility protocol is vastly more reliable and necessary than relying on standardized logistics.
And the proof is the power. Securing that time-stamped, signed document from the authorized officer, that's the functional difference between a package being delivered and a legal process being successfully served.
And before we leave you, it's really important to reinforce the disclaimers that were provided in the source material. This agency is a private company, a private process serving and courier agency.
Yeah, they are not a government entity. They are not affiliated with ICE or the Executive Office for Immigration Review, the EOIR.
That's a critical distinction.
And just as critically, they are not attorneys. They do not provide legal advice. Their service is purely logistical and informational. They are a specialized on-the-ground support system for the legal community.
Okay, so we've spent this entire deep dive focusing on the intense logistical requirements for getting legal documents into these remote facilities to meet deadlines, particularly serving those federal subpoenas for evidence. And that raises one final provocative thought for you to consider.
Mm-hmm.
If delivering the legal subpoena to a remote facility is this complex, what additional hidden logistical barriers exist in securing, transferring, or producing the evidence itself? The physical video footage, the stacks of paper medical records that lawyers are often subpoenaing from those exact same hard-to-reach, high-security locations?
The delivery is just the first and, you know, maybe even the easiest hurdle.